Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Yesterday, we heard from Dr. Caleb Alexander, the co-director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Drug Safety and Effectiveness, about his thoughts on combating the opioid crisis in this country. You can hear that interview at hereandnow.org. Today, we want to hear from a survivor, someone who was addicted to opioids and is now in recovery. Nick Roberts joins us by Skype from St. Albans, West Virginia. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And start by telling us how your addiction started.
Well, I had a pretty all-American childhood, I guess you could say. I had a loving family. There was no traumatic event that sparked anything. If I could trace it back as early as I possibly can, I would say when I was about 12 years old, I had a minor surgery on my toe, and the doctor wrote me a prescription for some pretty heavy narcotic pain medicine. There was no need for me to be on this kind of medication for that amount of time. And I went home, and I was starting to feel a little bit of physical pain, so my mom gave me one of the pills. And this weird thing happened where not only did the physical pain go away, but that the mental feelings of inferiority and feeling less than kind of subsided as well. And I just remember that moment so clearly, as for the first time I imagined I felt like other people felt. I knew there was something out there that I could put into my body that would make me feel normal.
And how did you get it? How did you get that something that you needed to feel the way that you wanted to feel?
I was in high school, and I would experiment with marijuana and alcohol on the weekends. And then my focus kind of went away from sports, friends, school, to getting high, drinking as much as I could. And it quickly progressed from just marijuana and alcohol to pain pills, to cocaine. And then it progressed as far as finding a needle and doing things that I said I would never do to maintain my addiction.
How easy was it for you to get those things?
That's a tough question, because if I wanted a prescription of, say, opiates, it was a little more difficult to get it the legal route than it was to just call up a friend that I knew had some. So the system was working in that regard. I found no way to, as a young person who's relatively healthy, to abuse the doctor system that way. I went straight to the streets, and that's where I was most successful at getting pills.
Hmm. So how bad did it get before you decided to get into recovery?
Well, I lost my car, my apartment, and my girlfriend all in 1 week from one bad episode. And I ended up moving back in with my mom at age 25. And for about 3 months of living in her house, waking up every day just religiously at 4:30 in the morning, sick from withdrawals. And I hated my life. I wasn't going to end my life, but I didn't care if I died. And I remember my mom walked in one morning. I was laying there in bed, curled up, sick. And she sat down on the edge of the bed and looked at me and said, "Nick, I'm not going to watch you die in my house. You can either get out of my house or I will take you to treatment." And that ultimatum saved my life. If she hadn't have done that, I would have overdosed and died. I'm sure of that.
Hmm. So you needed that other person, really, in this case, your mom, to take you and bring you to where you needed to go.
I needed someone that cared enough about me that they would show tough love. I didn't have the mental clarity to say, "Hey, my life has spiraled completely out of control. I had to get slapped in the face by reality."
So what was that reality? What was the program? How did you manage to get over this addiction?
I remember very clearly the very first day that I got there to Recovery Point of Huntington. and I carried my suitcase back to the director's office, and I sat down, and he said, just so you know, I was sitting right where you're at 5 years ago. And that just kind of went through me. I had been to treatment facilities before and been exposed to 12-step meetings and met with psychiatrists and psychologists, but I had never really sat down and talked with someone that had been where I was at and seemed to be successful, happy, living a normal life. He said, what makes you, why should I give you a bed? We have a waiting list of 100 people literally dying to get in here. Why should you go first? And I said, my thinking is messed up. I don't know why I said that. I don't know how I had that clarity of mind to say that. But he smiled a little bit. And he said, we've got a bed for you. And they took me into detox, and that's where my recovery began on April 13th, 2012.
And you've been sober since then?
Yes, sir.
And what's it been like for you? Has it been difficult? Is it still difficult now to stay away from those drugs?
No, and I think that's part of the misconception a lot of people have, especially active addicts, is that we've bought into this image of a person in recovery as someone that is just white-knuckling it through the day to stay sober. They're just hanging on for dear life, and it's not like that at all. The first 3 weeks in recovery were pretty rough. I was mentally obsessing on using, was physically sick. But after those first 3 weeks, I started, you know, developing new habits. Through this program, we would go to classes and learn things about the effects of drugs on the brain and alcohol on liver enzymes and the history of AA and NA. And I was given a master's degree in myself, pretty much. And it took that education and being exposed to real people in recovery who had done things much worse than I'd ever dreamed of. And somehow they were putting months together, years together without using. And the kicker was they seemed genuinely happy about it. And me today, 5 years sober, I'm married. I have a newborn daughter. I get to be a stepfather to a great young 8-year-old boy. I will graduate with my bachelor's degree in English this May, and I have a full-time job. And you could not tell me that I would have all these things and go through the day without even thinking about drugs and alcohol.
So what do you think would help other people do what you did? What do you think will solve the opioid crisis in this country?
That's a big question. I think a lot of people more smarter than I am need to come together and address it. But I think it starts with education. You know, if I just go by my own personal experience, the stigma of addiction has to be shattered. People have to realize that it is a disease. It was classified by the American Medical Association as a disease in 1985. And once we can kind of break this image of the addict being morally inferior, then people, I think, would be more prone to admit that they have a problem. And then it gets into step two of what we need to address, which is the availability of treatment. Unfortunately, when an addict finally asks for help, there is a very small window of opportunity for them to get help. That willingness quickly goes away. Unfortunately, in the state of West Virginia, we have many facilities, residential facilities for drug and alcohol rehabilitation, but they carry with them long waiting lists, particularly like Recovery Point of Huntington, which I went through, which you go through at no cost to the client. You can imagine how long a waiting list for a program like that would be.
Well, Nick Roberts, I just want to congratulate you on doing everything that you have done to get through this. It sounds like you've got a great life going now with your family there in West Virginia. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you very much for addressing this issue and being a part of the solution.